Thank you very much, Mason.
It's a pleasure to be taking part in this international voyage this morning, and I'm going to take you further north. We've been in the tropics. I'm going to take you further north to Canada and talk about nitrogen and carbon dynamics, particularly on the nutrient side, in a young Merlot grape planting, and look at the effects of irrigation and soil amendment. And this region often surprises people, but it's in southern Canada, and the rain shadow of the coast mountains. And it's quite a dry area, as you can see in the foreground. That's the natural vegetation. It gets between 200 to 300 millimeters of rain per year. So it's quite dry, and of course, the production in the area is associated with irrigation. It always has to have irrigation, and you can see in the distance, that is actually a vineyard, and the traditional type of irrigation, which is sprinkler. This happened to be overhead sprinkler, but there's a lot of under tree. But there is also a concern in the region about use of water, because when the settlers came into the region, they put the domestic and irrigation systems together. And so there's competition for the water use. And although climate change is occurring, it's a snowmelt irrigation water fed region, like much of Western North America. But so far it looks like that's not an issue, although things are changing, the climate stage. So water efficiency is quite a concern. And the other thing is that the soils were naturally developed under semi-arid conditions, so they have very low organic matter. So there's a lot of effort on trying to amend the soils, and of course you're irrigating to try and use methods to fertilize the plants. Soils are fairly sandy. And there's a lot of pomace produced from squeezing out the juices, of course, for the wines that you make. So there's a source of organic matter, which, as you can see here, is being used by some people at planting time. So with those two issues, we put in a long-term trial with Merlot, was the name of the grape. It's a red wine grape on SO4 rootstock, and it was planted. This is a new planting in 2011, and the trial was to look at fairly efficient low-pressure irrigation systems as main plots, either as micro-sprinkler, you can see on the left side, your right side, I guess it would be, and drip emitters, and thereby the main plot units are by rows, so there's randomization in there. And within that, there's an amendment comprised of subplots, which are five vines, or two guards, and then three were the measurement vines in the middle. And of course, nitrogen fertilizer is fairly conservative to get the good quality for the wine. So one treatment was nitrogen fertigated at about 40 kilograms per hectare, starts at bloom daily, so a very tiny amount spread over a four-week period. Compare that to a more complete fertigation of those nutrients indicated there, phosphorus at bloom time, potassium later on from weeks two to six after bloom, and boron, which is deficient in the area. So that's a more of a complete fertigation. And comparing that to compost, the same amount of nitrogen estimated from analyzing that annually and making an assumption based on the C-to-N ratio of about 20% mineralization per year, and then assuming that there's no residual carryover, which is of course an incorrect assumption, but it's the method, the assumptions that are made here. And then of course a combination in fertigation with a mulch. Mulch also preserves maybe moisture, and then a compost plus mulch. So same amounts of nitrogen through here, and then variations in the way organic matter is used. And this is what it looks like in 2013 after the planting. It's still a young vineyard. And what I'm going to spend a bit of time on is the nitrogen, effects on the nitrogen pools, and then a little bit on the dynamics. And ultimately, it is all to look at the implications from point of view of the nutrition, yield, and quality eventually of the grapes. And so look at soil nitrogen samples taken at various depths. I'm going to show you the 0 to 15 centimeter. This is LECO nitrogen, total nitrogen, and looking at no effect, of course, of the irrigation treatments. The only thing that's really had an effect there is the amendments. After the two-year period, you can see the compost has increased. The nitrogen doesn't seem to be so much so with the compost mulch treatment. We take a look at the soil nitrate dynamics, and what we've got in here are ion exchange resins, two types, a cation exchange, of course, for ammonium, one of the constituents of the nitrate cycle, and then an anion exchange, which looks at nitrate and orthophosphate as well, but I'm just going to talk about the nitrate data. And they're located at the same distance, about 30 centimeters from the location of those microsprinklers or drippers, as shown in the picture. And this is, we sampled in 2012 as well, but I'm just going to show you the 2013 data, which is done at more intensity. And over the time of the growing season, really from about May to end of harvest, about October 30th in this region, and incubated at different periods you take and put down the new one, take them. You can see the fairly intense cycle, particularly during that blue period, which is a period of fertigation. That four-week period I told you, that band represents fertigation. And you can see that this certainly responds to the fertigation. But the most interesting thing about that is those two treatments on the bottom, which were the nitrogen fertigation plus mulch, the two that had the mulch. The mulch is a readily available in this region. It's a fairly coarse textured bark mulch, cuttings from forest, a lot of forestry in the mountains, so a fairly high carbon to nitrogen ratio, and it certainly looks like it's affected the nitrate availability there. And most of the material there's very little ammonia available. The conversion is pretty quick, so that's why I'm showing the nitrate data. That was under microsprinkler. This is under drip irrigation. You see again the blue pattern when the nitrogen is being fertigated through there. Certainly you see the elevation. This is a pattern that surprises a bit. We're not sure about that later season elevation when there's no nitrogen being applied. We're not sure why that occurred. That's in a lot of the work we did on apples with nitrate changes in nitrate dynamics in soils, we don't see that. So that was a bit of a puzzle to us. But again, if you look at the pattern, there's that pattern again for the mulch, the bark mulch that was used to reserve moisture. And if you look at the comparison across those two treatments between the microsprinkler and the drip, you'll see that the drip, of course, focuses the water into a smaller area. Those numbers tend to be higher there, so there's more in the zone that these samples were taken at, which was 20 centimeters. It's always difficult where to place that sampling. It was 20 centimeters from those different emitters, but of course it's going to be a different pattern for a microsprinkler in terms of moisture than a drip system. And if you look at the moisture content, these were taken with TDR measurements every hour. So 24 measurements averaged daily, and then plot the daily averages are plotted up there. And you can see one difference, of course, was the mulches and the end fertigation with mulch and without. And of course, you see there is a conservation effect of the mulch, the moisture content. The bit of a surprise fluctuation in that, because we irrigate using atmometer in scheduled irrigation, so we measure the ET estimate through some equations that are in there for the grape crop coefficients, and then we adjust the irrigation the next day. So we expected that to be much flatter, but you can see it was a bit of a wet year compared to normal. You can see the precipitation numbers on the axis there. You can see that they actually respond quite well to that fluctuation. In fact, some of that part where above on the drip system, you can see that increased nitrogen actually seems to relate to that wetter period. So whether there was something else going on there, still not clear to us. And there's the pattern for the microsprinkler irrigation, and those are over the 0-30 centimeter depths in both cases. Other things happening in there, of course, the soil temperature. We have TDR probes in there located by each of the moisture measurement probes and integrated in the same way. So they're daily numbers, and these numbers I'm showing from 2013 go from the growing season, which is about the end of April in this area, to harvest on the end of October. And you can see really amendments. There's a slight effect of irrigation actually on temperature as well. They're warmer under the drip system, and this is something we've noticed before, because you're wetting and you have less evapotranspiration. So drip systems tend to be warmer, which is of course of interest to the grape growers in this region. The amendments, warmer temperatures where you've got the mulches, And really the reason for that is not the summer temperatures or the maximum temperatures, which you can see are plotted here, tend to be very high under the nitrogen, the maximum temperature, but it's because of the warmer minimum temperature, so the reverse situation of the growing season. And soil carbon pools, I think, I don't know how close we are here, I just...
Five
more minutes, okay. Just go on to soil carbon. These are total LECO carbons after a couple of years, but you can see, of course, no effect of irrigation systems, but the amendments are the key factor, and the compost is certainly at the 0 to 15 centimeter depth, affecting the total carbon, and the hot water extractable carbon. Several of the compost and mulches are having effects already. Now, plant responses, very early stages, because these are very young plants, but the standard sample for grapes is bloom time for the standards that are developed. And you can see that dripper, remember I said there were higher soil nitrogen, it certainly comes through the irrigation dripper, nitrogen a little higher values. But really the compost knot and the mulches knot, it's really the fertigated systems that are producing at bloom time higher values. But of course, verazon, which is a little later when the grapes begin to change color, you can see that a lot of those things disappear. So it's not so strong an effect. Here's a preliminary vine growth, a little bit of an effect of the drip system. You're concentrating the water right around the emerging plants. You can see that the pruning weights at least indicate higher, more vigor for the drippers, but not much effect of anything else. And this is the very first yield, so again, only preliminary data, but it looks like those mulches were a little lower. Remember I said they did have lower nitrogen, so possibly that's a nitrogen effect. Now this is all preliminary data. This plot was established for an integrated study, and there's also a lot of work, and there's going to be presentations at this session, or this symposium, or this meeting, on greenhouse gas emissions as well, because that's the ultimate purpose of the study. So that are going to obviously look at the effects of organic matter and irrigation on what the emissions of greenhouse gases are. And there's other work looking at the roots, and that's presented in another session in soil biology, biochemistry, what the root growth and the nematode, the biology, is being affected by these treatments. So at this stage, a summary at this stage, the soil nitrodynamics are strongly affected, but we're really not sure yet. This is very preliminary stages. Some of these changes are only a couple years in. There have been few implications so far for plant nitrogen status and yield, but after all, it's only the preliminary crop. And of course, there are a lot of this is background information really for using this for greenhouse and gas emissions. There'll be other presentations on that later. So with that, I'd like to thank you for your attention, and if there are any questions, I'd certainly be willing to answer them.
We have time for one or two questions.
You had a significant difference between your compost, but not with the compost and the mulch.
Yes.
Early on when you were talking about some of the nitrogen results, do you have any idea why, what was the impact that the mulch was having on that system?
Yeah, I can't explain all the mysteries of my data, so I'm not sure. Like it doesn't make some sense in some ways, but the mulch is very coarse textured. It's waste material. When they're lumbering, they strip off the fine limbs and the needles. These are all coniferous, and then they let them incubate a little bit up there. So we didn't expect that there would be a lot of, we've used coarse textured mulches before, that there'd be a lot of an effect, because this is a slow, long-term process. But there are obviously a little bit more fines in there than we thought. So there may have been a bit of depression because of the carbon to nitrogen ratio being unfavorable. So that looks like it may have negated the effect of the compost. And the compost was put underneath the first time, but then, of course, once you've got that mulch down and you're trying to maintain it at 10 centimeters, then you we had to put it on top to get the nitrogen source, and it's come down through. So it might be something to do with that dynamic.
Okay, we have to stop now and move on to the next presentation. Thank you very much.